Okay. We'll pray and we'll jump into this. Dear Father, Yah, we come to you now and we just honor you and we just bless you for your presence. Mm-hmm. Right now we seek wisdom and understanding on today, and we bless you in advance for it. And we just thank you for all things. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Alrighty. We're going to look at some things in Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 14, and then there's a correction that I want to make in a lesson, series of lessons that we've done as I did a writing today, and Yah just showed me some things in a little bit more detail, so I want to address that and make that correction. Ezekiel 14, I just want to see what first I want to start on. Okay. The root of this lesson is behind some things that we need to, as a nation of people, understand and walk in complete confidence of this information that we're going to share on today. And it was something, you know, it's something. Well, it's something that I've always looked at this way. But at the same time, you know, just being reminded of it in the scripture is even more encouraging. And it's more so encouraging knowing the days that approach. I wanted to share that. But before I do, the correction that I want to make, I just put it up right on the screen. When we dealt with Revelation chapter 17, because it's where things are headed, but then at the same time, it's we're not quite there at the end of all this here. When we look at Revelation chapter 7, 17, just trying to see what verse I want to start. I just started verse 9. Revelation 17, verse 9, to the right of the screen said, "And here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is. And the other is not yet come, and when he cometh, he must continue for a short space." And you know, we identified these seven kings, and five are fallen. The seven are Assyria, well, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Grecia, Rome, and revised Rome territory, as we've just kind of named it. They are the ones who haven't received their kingdom as of yet, but it's close. And so, and that's why we're, you know, Ezekiel 14 has an important role to play for our understanding in knowing what we're about to face as far as Revelation 17 is concerned, because we are going to face this. And so, again, here's the mind that have wisdom. We know those seven nations where it says five are fallen. We know this is dealing with John's day, because this, you know, it's Revelation 17 is when John was basically on the island, I think, of Patmos, I believe. And so he was given his vision, and so it was during John's time when Rome was leading. Or Rome was the I call it the one world order, or the world power during this time. And so the five that are fallen, we know that them to be Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece. Greece and Rome was ruling at the time as the 6-1. Well, the 6-1 has been in existence and ruling since Christ's day. That kingdom still rules to this very day. That's, you know, that's why you have the connection to it as far as the Roman Catholic Church. That is the religion that exists that basically is the face of this world power, and it flows in and out of our customs, which you, when you deal with, you know, Judaism and these Jewish people and things like that. And so Rome is still ruling to this very day, and so they are the one is in verse 10. Being the 6-1, it said the other's not yet come. The other one still has not yet come, but soon to come. And and when we look at the things that happen as far as the capital was concerned, it truly show how weak our nation truly is. I mean, we almost had an overthrow of the government with just a few boys and some guns. You know, can you imagine if organized army come in to take roots here some kind of way, and somebody is organized enough to do it? And I know, you know, a lot of things was in place to keep some things from taking place, but that still was a sign to let us know that we're not as powerful as what we've given impression that we are. You know, we got all these bells and whistles, but at the same time, when you look at the mindset of our leaders, it shows the state of the country. And that's how you determine. And you look throughout history, and you see there are certain guidelines that you can follow to determine if that country is a strong nation or if that country is a weak nation. And all the signs that you see are signs to show. So I often say that the state of a country is determined by the leader. And so when you look at Trump was just president, then you look at Biden, who's the president now, and you're saying, okay, these are the best ones that we got in this country that can run for president. It shows you the state of this country. And so when this process happened, it's going to happen in a big way, and Rome is going to fall. Rome is going to fall. The Romans are going to fall. And so and when you look at Romans, and you have to understand how things we've dealt with as far as the scriptures are concerned in dealing with Egypt. Egypt had allied forces. In other words, the one world order was never just one nation. It was always a league of nations that had a main head. Okay, and so that's how you understand it. So Egypt, when Egypt was powerful, it's because Egypt was the top nation, but it had leagues with other nations, and there were marriages. Matter of fact, you can go to Daniel 12, I believe it's Daniel 11, when we dealt with that time, and you can see the league that was being made between the Antiochuses and the Ptolemies, Egypt and Syria. And so marriages were being done in order to have leagues. Solomon married an Egyptian, and that was a league. That's why when Babylon attacked the land of Judah, that's why Egypt tried to help. That was that league. And so you had League of Nations. That's why when you read the prophecies in Jeremiah, then Jeremiah is prophesying, saying what would happen to each nation, and he told members of our nation not to go into Egypt. He was like, don't go there. You know, if you submit to Nebuchadnezzar and Yah let you stay in the land, and you prosper in our own homeland. But they said he was, you know, he was deceiving them, and they went into Egypt, and Yah sent Nebuchadnezzar's army in there and destroyed the Egyptians and killed all of them that went down to Egypt to fulfill that prophecy. And so there were leagues that were already always formed. So Assyria, Egypt during that time had leagues. When Assyria conquered them, there was a league that was established. It wasn't just Assyria by themselves, but Assyria had other nations that was along with them. Well, when Babylon conquered them, Babylon had other nations along with them. And Medo-Persia, it was the same way with all these nations. Grecia, you know, they were the powerhouse nation, but there was always other nations connected to them and aided them to do things in one fashion or another. Rome is the same way. United States, part of Rome. United States is not the powerhouse. It's not the head. United States is part of Rome. And so when you get the United States and you get their allied forces and things like that, and you start looking at the things that they're doing, that's your Romans. That is Rome. And so you start to see the symbol of the religion that's associated with that. And that's why they're all allied forces, and they all believe the same things, basically, when it comes down to religion and things like that. And so everybody, you know, pay, you know, homage to the Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church go all because that's who's in charge right now, the Romans. To a certain extent, but then you have Mystery Babylon that's in that thing, and that's the mother of harlots, the mother of idolatry, and so everybody is paying homage right now to that holy city because of the deception and all that that's associated with it, and people thinking that they're the people of the book. That's why she's the mother of harlots now, the mother of idolatry. Idolatry, it's all a lie. Christianity is there. Your Muslims are there. Judaism is there. All religions are there. It's the mother of harlot, idolatry. That's why it's there, and that's why it has to be destroyed in the future. And so, so when you look at again, verse 10, it said one is Rome, the one that has not yet come, that is these 10 nations that's going to come together, and they're going to bring down Rome, and you'll see that take place. There's going to be a league of nations. There's going to be 10 nations they're going to destroy. That great city, which is the woman, as far as 18 is concerned, it said, a woman which thou sawest, which one? Verse 5. Verse 4. Verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman, verse 3, sit upon a scarlet beast full of names, a blasphemer, having 7 heads and 10 horns. This woman sits upon it, and so it tells who that woman is. The woman is a city, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigned over the kings of the earth. And so when you look at that, a lot of people say, well, that's the Vatican. No, because there are other scriptures that call Jerusalem spiritually Sodom in Egypt. And it says where our Lord was crucified. And so so when you start to look at these scriptures, that's when they start to tie together. And so these 10, the others is not yet come. That's these 10 nations. And it says when he cometh, the 10 nations or that seventh beast, he must continue for a short space. So you're going to see these 10 nations going to come to power, but they're not going to last very long. Because the eighth one is going to take over. Okay? And that's why it says in the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth. The beast that was of the five and is not because it doesn't exist anymore. Okay? And it says, even he is, he is of the seven. This is where I made the error, where it says, 8, and is of the seven. When it says of the seven, it is talking about the seven instead of the seventh. So I had originally said that the eighth one come out of the seventh one. No, but the eighth one is of the seventh that are mentioned in verse 10. So the eighth one doesn't come after the doesn't come out of the seventh one. It comes after the seventh one. And so the eighth one doesn't have the connection to it as we originally put it. And so that's why it says, and it's of the seven. And so Yah was showing me when he says of the seven, he's talking about these seven here. It says, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven. He's of the seven because he's part of the five that are fallen. So he's of the total seven that's mentioned. The total seven that's mentioned and goeth into perdition. So when the ten kings come to power, making up the seventh kingdom that brings down the Romans, then the beast is going to basically bring them down because they're going to submit their power to the beast here. What verse is it? Verse 12 says, and the ten horn which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as king 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. So that seventh one is going to form, and they're going to submit to the eighth one and give their power to him, and they're going to rule and reign with him for a short period of time. It says 1 hour. Letting you know it's in connection with verse 10. When he cometh, he must continue for a short space. Okay, and so that's the that's the correction that I wanted to make as far as the seventh beast, the seventh and the eighth beast is concerned. The seventh beast submits to the eighth beast, but the eighth beast doesn't come out of the seventh beast. He's the fifth one that revived, and so he's not revived from the old Roman Empire because that's a different nation than what he is.
So you're saying the seventh beast is not going to be out of the fifth, but only the eighth one is?
Yeah, yeah. The seventh beast is basically in a nutshell. So you have the old Roman Empire that's existing now. And then you have the revised old Roman Empire, which makes up those 10 kingdoms. And so from those 10 kingdoms, the Antichrist will defeat three, and the seven will completely submit to him, thus making them league with him for that 1 hour. And so whatever's going to take place, because as we look at the scripture and understand, each kingdom conquers the other. And so with the cause of the Antichrist to come to power is that once he starts to conquer, he takes out three, the other seven fully comply. And that's what makes up the eighth one, because he had that league with them, and that's when they go against Christ, basically. And as far as verse 14 is concerned. So when you look at 11 again, says the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven. Because if it had come out of the seventh, it would have said of the seventh. And so Yah said, no, he's of the seven, meaning seven kings up here in verse 10, not of the seventh as far as the seventh kingdom. Okay. And says of the seven and goeth in perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings. This is the seventh. The ten horns are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet. The seventh hadn't appeared yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Then it gives the process. These have one mind and they shall give their power and strength unto the beast. It's 10 nations going to come together. They're going to have one mind. And once they have that one mind, that's when that eighth one is going to come to power, destroy three. And then the other seven are going to fully submit. But they're going to create that League of Nations that gives that Antichrist all the power and the ability to make war that he needs. And that's why it says, verse 13, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and they that are with him are called the chosen and faithful. Okay, and so that is the process by which is going to take place. It's just that y'all wanted me to make that correction instead of saying the eighth one comes out of the seventh. No, the seventh one submits to the eighth one through being, you know, conquered to a certain extent. And so that's how we understand it. Now, when these events begin to happen, we understand that there's going to be a lot of dying taking place for Yahshua. There's going to be a lot of dying take place, you know, of a lot of people, but specifically the nation of Israel. You know, we're going to be persecuted during this time frame, and things are headed very much so in that direction now, because it's just a lot of things that are moving. I didn't get a chance to look at what you sent me today, because I was really busy. And so what was it that you sent me?
This Republican senator that was got into all the trouble and they took all their committees away from him. She's saying it's the mark of the beast, what the Democrats are doing, telling people to, you know, that to keep their vaccination cards, because they'll need them. They call them vaccination passports. You present it to travel, to go to restaurants, to go to events and all of that. Mm-hmm. She's saying it's the mark of the beast.
Mm-hmm. And see, and now it makes sense from the things that y'all had me to write, because when I wrote about the six beasts, what I had said was that the six beasts is trying to be the eighth and final one. So I'll say it this way. The Romans are so arrogant that they think that Romans are so arrogant that they think that they are the kingdom that's invincible. That's invincible. Egypt thought the same thing. Assyria thought the same thing. Babylon thought the same thing. Medo-Persia, Grecia thought the same thing. These Romans thinking the same thing. And so because of that, they understand the scriptures. So they are pushing that agenda. But that's the very thing that's going to be their downfall. That's what y'all was showing me. What they're doing is going to be their downfall. It is going to make that seventh beast rise up. It's their downfall. And so Yah's put a hook in their jaw, and he's drawing them in for the slaughter. And so they're doing all these things, and they're like, okay, we're the world power now. We can make the world do what we want to. But they don't realize there's two beasts out there that's more powerful. There are 10 kingdoms that's going to rise up against this stuff that's going on now. There's 10 kingdoms. 10 kingdoms are going to rise up. And when they rise up, they're going to be on one accord. And they're going to bring that seventh. They're going to bring that sixth kingdom down. Rome is finna get destroyed. And this is one of the process that Yah is showing me that is going to lead to their destruction. Because they're pushing things on people and trying to make people do things all over the world. Because they think that they are the final beast. They think they are. They said, mindset of Japheth. Japheth, thank you. Whenever they get in power, the power's forever. And so these ten nations who are also who are also within the Roman territory, it's going to bring this stuff down. They're going to put a stop to it. And when they put a stop to it, and they start to do things and start, they're going to destroy Jerusalem. And when they put a stop to these things, that it's going to bring rise to that eighth one. And that's going to be the one who's going to implement that thing. So she's talking about this is the mark of the beast, but at the same time, she's out of the timeline. She don't understand what has to take place before the mark happens. You know, we hadn't experienced no peace and all the wonderful things happening all over the world. We hadn't experienced that. And so she's off because, you know, and that's what these evangelical Christians believe the same thing. They think that all of them are off. These are the same people who said that Trump was supposed to be president. God said. They're off. They're your Romans. That's a Roman religion that's connected to that Roman empire, and they're trying to push that Roman agenda, and it's going to fall flat on its face and make rise for that seventh kingdom, which is those 10 kings, these 10 nations that's going to come to power. And they're going to rule with 1 hour. You know, they're going to have one mind, and they're going to rule 1 hour with that beast because they're going to eventually submit to the beast. I believe that those 10 kingdoms, you know, I'm not exactly sure, but I believe those 10 kingdoms are your Muslim nation, Muslim kingdoms. I believe those 10 kingdoms are. And I believe that that king is going to rise up because he's not going to accept any religion. He's going to claim himself as God. And he may have a form of or some kind of connections to those 10 kingdoms, but this guy got a mind of his own. Satan is ruled, has given him his power. So he's going to come to power with flattery. So he may be pretending to be something that in reality he's not. So he may be going along with certain religions right now until he gets in position to really show who he truly is. And so everything is lining up and everything is getting in place for this. And that's why y'all was like, okay, make this correction, but then at the same time encourage the church with Ezekiel 14. And here's what Ezekiel 14 says. And I'll just get out of Revelation 17. Ezekiel 14, verse 12. We'll start at verse 12. And this is very encouraging to read, but you got to have confidence in this. What I'm about to say, we got to have complete confidence in what we're getting ready to read. When we read it and understand it, we got to have complete confidence in that and stand on this from tonight and forevermore. We got to stand on this right here. So Ezekiel 14 verse 12 said, the word of Yah came again to me saying, son of man, he's talking to Ezekiel, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it and will break the staff of the bread thereof. And will send famine upon it. And I will cut off man and beast from it. Okay? Then here's what the part that's it's both disturbing and encouraging at the same time. It said, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith Yah God. If I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it, so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beast. Though these three men were in it, as I live, said Yah, God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughters, they only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. What Yah is saying during this time, now we have to remember, Ezekiel was prophesying during the time frame when Judah was taken into captivity. And so what Yah was saying to Ezekiel, he was like, okay, now they have been saying for generations that that, you know, everybody has been, all the prophets have been talking about how our homeland was going to be judged and y'all was going to do all these things. But he was saying, you know, that in a nutshell, they had got arrogant because y'all had delayed things. And y'all was like, but this is the time frame is going to take place. And so when it started to take place, y'all was saying, it don't matter. When I start doing this, when the land sinneth, and now obviously when he's talking about the land sinning, he's talking about the mindset of the people that's in the land that causes the land to be considered as sinful too. Now I'm going to step back into what we just dealt with previously. That's the reason why Jerusalem is going to be destroyed, because the land sinneth. Now, when you look at the land sinneth, it's not necessarily that the land itself is doing it. It's what's in the land. So Yah has to judge the land because of what the people are doing in the land. That's why when you look at Revelation 17, it talks about the 10 kings destroying that woman, burning it with fire. Because Yah is saying, he calls Jerusalem in the last days spiritually Sodom. Spiritually Sodom. Think about that. What was Sodom and Gomorrah? They said that they, I'm trying to think of the city in Jerusalem. I think it's Tel Aviv. One of the cities in Jerusalem, they said it's the gay capital of the world. They said they have all kinds of parades down there. So that's the reason why Yah calls it spiritually Sodom. And then he calls it spiritually Egypt because of the bondage. Egypt was the house of bondage. All type of bondage is there. Slavery. You have Ethiopians, or as they say, Ethiopian Jews who are there. They're being persecuted. You have Jews that's from the United States that have migrated there. It's all kinds of stuff. They're constantly under chaos because these people don't want anybody there unless they are Jewish. They don't want the Palestinians there. So it's Egypt. It's spiritually bondage. Spiritually Egypt. It's spiritual bondage. And so when you look at that, Yah calls that, when he look at it, when he look at the state of the people, he said, when the land sinneth, I affect the land and I also deal with the people. That's how you know when a nation is in sin. Start looking at the land. We've been having droughts and all that in America, right? Because the land sinneth, because of the state of the people. So we're not sinning. You remember how we used to talk about it? You could ride down the street and see pomegranate trees and peach trees and all type of fruit trees just on the side of the road. You can't see that now because the land sinneth, because of the state of the people. So Yah said when the land sinned, he used that as a metaphoric term to talk about the people. That's why he says in verse 14, though these three men, Noah and Job, were in it, because there's so much sin there, he said they only deliver themselves with their righteousness. Then as he goes on, he says verse 15, if I cause nor some beasts to pass through the land and they spoil it so that it be desolate. What are the beasts? Locusts? Animals that destroy the land and the greenery and the things like that. That's why that area looks like a desert now. The land is sin because of the state of the people. That no man may pass through because of the beast. He said, though these three men were in it, as Eliel said, y'all, they shall deliver neither son nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Yah is giving us a word. He's saying to us, in these last days, we're not going to be able to deliver our loved ones. It's going to be an issue of sin and righteousness. And Yah is saying, if Noah is in the land, or Daniel or Job is in the land, if these righteous men are in the land, they're not going to be able to deliver nobody but themselves. This is going to be a time frame when this starts going down, people are going to try to latch on you because they know you're righteous, but y'all going to be like, I'm not going to deliver them. I'm going to deliver you. I know you love him, but I'm not going to deliver them. I am only going to deliver the righteous. That is the remnant.
Is that like like I think I said last time, or could you say, seek the Lord while you may be found? Like, once that time come, it ain't no, you ain't found him prior to that point, you ain't going to find him after that point.
When y'all judge, he judges. When that time frame come, it's not going to be, well, let me get on board now. Because Yah has already set things in motion. You know, turn around then. Yeah, you just going to say something? Over? Okay. It's already been set in motion. That's why he's saying here, verse 15, he said, if I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land and they spoil it, that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beast. Though these three men were in it, as I live, Yah said, as I live, we know he's eternal. So he said, I'm decreeing this on me. As I live, saith Yah, they shall deliver neither son nor daughters, your own children. I cannot deliver my children in this time frame if they don't operate in righteousness. That's why I tell them all the time, you got to walk this walk. Don't be trying to walk in daddy's righteousness when that day comes, because daddy gonna have to leave you by the wayside. Because you're gonna be weight that I don't need to be carrying. Now can you imagine all them nieces and nephews and folks that's uncles and aunts and all these folks that's in the family that we all just don't want to see nothing bad happen to? But y'all said when that day comes, even sons and daughters won't be delivered. I'm delivering only the righteous. He says, they shall deliver neither son nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. We walking out with just us. That's what he's saying. Now, that would be a complete confidence in us knowing that all I got to do is remain righteous. And if I remain righteous, it don't matter what's happening around me. They can be vaccinating. They can be doing all this other crazy stuff. They can be talking about what you can't do and can do. All this stuff going on. But Yah is going to deliver me. You got to have that confidence in these days that we're living in. He goes on. He said, if I bring a sword up on the land, people are going to die. When you start seeing people die, when that day comes, sword go through the land. And say, if I bring a sword upon the land and say, sword go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it, though these three men were in it, as I live, said Yah God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. When this time frame comes, people who play in church, not going to get delivered. People who are not for real with their walk with Yah, all this here, the stuff that's going, when this start going down and Yah finally start to judge the lands, when you look at just as far as this room is concerned, in order for us to get a clear understanding of what Yah is going to be doing in these last days, if we were all Israel, let's just say, all those of us who are in this room and are listening, some form of media, if we were all Israel, all of us, just only us, was just Israel, two out of three of us wouldn't walk out of here. That's a whole lot of unrighteous folks. That's why we all got to be encouraged and make sure that we're focused on the things of the kingdom and make sure when that day come, because when that day come, it ain't going to be a time frame to say, oh, let me get it right now. I will not be carrying weight with me. I'll be traveling light. My own grandkids, if they're not operating in righteousness, the scripture is written. I can't deliver them. Y'all said, when that day come and I start bringing the sword, and I start bringing the famine, I start bringing all these things through the land, the pestilences, the diseases, when I start releasing all this stuff out in the land, he said, I'm only going to, if Job knew we're in it, can't nobody get delivered, but Job and Daniel and Noah. If they were in the land, they couldn't deliver their own children. We all have to work on our own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 18, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith Yah, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Or if I send a pestilence, that's disease. That is COVID-19. He may not be the source of it, but a disease is a disease. If I send a pestilence into the land and pour out my fury up on it in blood to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith Yah, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall deliver their own souls by their righteousness. Righteousness is the only thing gonna cause us to be delivered in these days. You got to have confidence in that. We have to be wise. We have to be cautious. Lon, you got to be cautious. You got to be cautious when you deal with issues as far as that building is concerned. But that is not your 17 people is not your deliverer. Joshua. So now, your 17 people is not your deliverer. Yah is the only thing that can deliver you. And we must have that confidence that no matter what goes on, I cannot make it on my own. Yah is my deliverer. And if Yah don't deliver me, it don't matter what I do to try to keep this from happening. Your righteousness is the only thing that's going to deliver you. I'm not saying you won't get bit. I'm just saying it won't take you out. Paul got bit. Paul got bit by that snake. And they were looking at him, expecting him to die when he was shipwrecked. Paul shook that snake off in that fire and went on. They were sitting there watching him say, he's going to die in a minute. Yah was his deliverer. You may have to walk through the fiery furnace. But you got to understand that Yah is your deliverer. You got to have this complete confidence in Yah in these days that we're walking in. Complete confidence. I cannot deliver myself. If need be, if he don't deliver me, I know he's well able. So none of us, as far as I know, have experienced the COVID virus by the grace of Yah. That mask didn't do it. It was the grace of Yah. It was that power of Yah that delivered us because of all of us, whether we knew it or not, we've been around it. And Yah delivered. You got to have that complete confidence from this point on that regardless of what happens in this world, Yah is my deliverer and I am just like Noah and Job and Daniel. I'm the righteous in this sinful land. That's why he says in verse 21 and 22, and then I'm closing. It says, for thus saith Yah, how much more will I send my four sword judgments upon Jerusalem? The sword and the famine. We're looking at our homeland as an example of what it's going to be like in our captivity in these nations, but we still get the same results because we are the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are just like Noah, Daniel, and Job in these lands. Verse 21, for thus saith Yah God, how much more when I send my four sword judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword and the famine and the noisome beast and the pestilence, to cut off from it man and beast, yet behold, there shall be left a remnant. We're the remnant. You're the remnant. You got to believe you're the remnant. You got to walk as the remnant. Behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their way and their doing, and ye shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought up on Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought up on it. In other words, the remnant is going to see the judgment of Yah upon all these lands that had sinned. And we're going to be encouraged from it, knowing that we were delivered out of all these things, knowing that Yah did exactly what he said he was going to do in his word, but yet we were protected exactly the way he said we was going to be protected. So it don't matter what goes on. They can start putting folks in camps. They can start forcing people to do all these different things that people are afraid of. It don't matter what they try to force up on us. The remnant is going to make it through. Yah always, throughout our history, has left the remnant. Verse 22, and I'm closing. Yeah, behold, there shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their way and their doings, and ye shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. And they shall comfort you when you see when ye see their ways and their doing, and ye shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith Yah. We know that what Yah is about to do is just and right, because he's given all these lands the opportunity to get it right. So we're not going to be able to save these lands, but we're going to be delivered. We're not going to be able to save a lot of loved ones, but we're going to be delivered. And you know, and it's important that we understand that, you know, if a person look at this and see your mindset about these things, you know, it'd be hard to imagine. Okay, how can you just abandon a loved one like that? Yah gonna do what he's gonna do. I've been preaching to family members to you for years, man. I've been talking to, you know, nieces, nephews, cousins. I've been doing all this because I know what's coming. And I've been saying, look, y'all better get ready. You better get on board. You there's some things that y'all is doing, and you got to connect. And this thing is serious. They're taking it light. When that day comes, don't be coming around in there. We're like, nope, I can't carry this weight. Mm-mm. We ain't finna have no church service now.
It's almost like bandwagon fans.
That's it.
You know, they ain't gonna support through the tough times and when all the stuff, but when everything starts looking like it's going good, let me jump on board.
Yep.
So y'all, it's like he ain't been on no bandwagon.
Exactly.
You ain't doing it, you know, when it's important, when things start going that direction, you can't expect to hop on board then. Yep. It's too late.
Yep. There's some things that have happened, and I've had a you know, niece I love dearly that have texted me and was like, okay, Unc, what we going to do? All this stuff is going down. What we going to do? And I'd be like, I don't know what you going to do. You ain't want to line up, so I don't know what you going to do when this go down. You ain't been running, Unc. Y'all going to cut that cord. I saw this. I've been saying it. When the storm happened, your pipes and stuff busted and stuff, and I couldn't get to you. I couldn't get to you. But y'all delivered us.
Yeah. Especially in my time of the year, I was like, yeah, I don't even know what to do. My water is just coming down like that. And he provided a way up.
How we going to get to everybody? We got to depend on our righteousness. We might end up in the same place when it's all said and done. But when that day come, I can't. Everything gets shut down. I can't call. Hey, son, where you at? Let's try to get over here. Now, I got to say, I got to trust him operating this righteousness. And y'all going to hook us up some kind of way down this road somewhere. We got to have complete confidence in that. Because when this stuff happens, it's going to happen in a way. And unless we all together, when it all go down, what we going to do? Righteousness has got to be the source by which we depend upon. And y'all has that place prepared where whether we're together or not, y'all is going to allow us to find our way because we're the remnant. Some may go down. I may not be able to get to my girls. They better be operating in righteousness. Because I can't save son or daughter that day. And so this is where we are. And so understand that and put your complete confidence in the Most High Yah that you are the remnant of Israel. And that righteousness is going to be the very thing that's going to deliver your soul. I don't care where we are. We're going to be well taken care of. Yeah. Well, that's all I have. And I just hope it encouraged you to walk out of here and say, I know y'all got me, man. I'm the righteous. You're going to look out for me. Something's going to be crazy around me, though. Everybody gonna be running around trying to figure out what food they eat, they gonna eat, and what water they gonna drink, and y'all gonna be just showing us the way. What's that little round stuff keep being out there in the yard every time I get up in the morning? The round cake, we may be dropping manna up on us. We never know. We ain't got a thing to worry about because we're a remnant. We're the remnant of Israel. And there's plenty of rocks around here for some water to come out of. All right, that's all I have. Any questions, comments? We good? Okay. Father, y'all, we just bless you for revealing to us that we shall be well taken care of, even though it be chaotic around us in the future. And our trust is completely in you. Y'all, we know that we are the remnant, and we know that our righteousness is going to be the source by which we're delivered. And right now we decree that our righteousness is because of what our Savior has done in being that perfect example and dying for us and then living for us, that we may follow his example. And we bless you for him. Thank you for sending him to be the express image of who you are, that we may learn your way. And we thank you for your spirit that guides us to all things pertaining to life and godliness. And we just glorify you. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.